We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, of the Miami Heat Radio Network, of WQAM, and occasionally on the CBS4 Sports Desk, Alex Solana.
Yes.
Hi.
Hey. What's up, G?
The Beacon alumni.
Heat Beat alumni too, man. I don't get enough credit for the early days of my Heat Beat contributions.
Al says, you know, we're star launchers. You know, you, Nikias, you know, we'll take credit for that.
I don't know if I'm a star Leif. Launcher. I wouldn't put myself in the same category as Leif or you, or definitely not Nikias.
Me, I'm at home. You're at the games. I watch and I get on Twitch. You're there, brother.
I put on ESPN. Nikias is on ESPN. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? This guy's on ESPN talking hoops.
With Zach Lowe. What a journey. What a journey for a guy. And what a journey for the Miami Heat, Alex. They lost last night to the Washington Wizards. Chat is already saying last night never happened. Never. Someone's taking, Poltergeist was taking blame because he went on a cruise and they're 0-3 since the cruise. I do believe their workout video is more to blame than the cruise. We'll get into that later. Alex, so yesterday, you know, for those of you who don't know, because I'm annoying about it on Twitter, I am a Liverpool fan. Yesterday, Liverpool Football Club played a very big match against Manchester City yesterday, and it was title deciding. It was as big as a late playoff game for the two best teams in the Prem for the last 8 years or so. And Alex, to watch a match like that, and then to watch Heat Wizards after it, it made me question what the NBA is doing. Because it's like, on one hand, you have like these guys fighting for their fucking lives, right? And it's like that every game, because every game matters in a season like that. Then to go to Heat Wizards, where clearly one team doesn't give a fuck, and it's a slog. Alex, the regular season is such a slog, and it manifests in weird ways. Like sometimes a team that is a mid-table team like Miami losing a home game to one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, and it's made worse by when it happens, right? Because if the Heat lose a game to the Wizards, they played, I think it was like November 3rd, and the Heat beat them, and then they played again earlier in 2024, I believe, and it was a close one. If the Heat lose one of those two games, we're upset at that time, right? But to lose in the fashion that they lost, in the middle of a four-game stretch where you play two in back-to-back nights against two Western Conference teams, and then the final leg of that four is against the Denver Nuggets. We all know the challenges that that's going to present on Wednesday. Like, you got the one easy game in between that at home versus a team that has 10 wins And it just ended a 16-game losing skid versus the damn Charlotte Hornets at the stage of the season that you're in where there's 18 games remaining. To me, like, it all compiles and it becomes worse when you extrapolate it out like that, right? So yesterday sucked. There's no other way to put it. It sucked. It was embarrassing. It was miserable. And you watched a Heat team that, yeah, I mean, they've struggled all season against the best teams, but they've usually been able to hammer those out. Like, they've been able to get over the hump against the bad teams, and to lose to Kyle Kuzma is frustrating. It really is, especially because you know this Heat team. I think you and I were going to find out on this pod, G, we have different, maybe not expectations, but we have different beliefs of how good this Heat team is, because I do believe that they're better than they were last year. And I know it's hard for us for me to make that argument today of all days. But yeah, I mean, yesterday sucked. Like, Corey Kispert killing the Heat every single time they play them.
Every time, dude.
For the defense to look as bad as it did in the fourth quarter, and then, you know, the intensity level doesn't ramp up until there's a minute 50 seconds left and you're down 10 points. All those things are frustrating as hell, but this is what this team is. This is who this team is. They're going to have these games in the regular season versus a Wizards team, and you're going to say, yeah, they're done. There's no way this team can compete at the highest level, and year after year, they seem to prove us wrong.
Alex, when I tell you Miami is 25-24 against teams below 500, you say what?
Well, they're worse against teams above 500. So that's the first thing that pops up into my mind. I think they're 0-10 this season against the teams entering yesterday with the top five records. And they have a below 500 record against...
I believe they have one win, and that's against Milwaukee.
Correct. Yeah, you're
that's
right.
That's the one win that they have, because they have not beaten Boston.
So long ago. But yeah, you're right. They did beat Milwaukee on the road.
And that was recently, too, because, like, Oklahoma City, 0-2. Denver, 0-1. Minnesota, 0-2. The Clippers, 0-2. Boston, 0-3. Milwaukee, I think it's 1-3.
And I think, or 1-2. 1-2 against Milwaukee.
1-2. And then Cleveland, I think they have one win, the one on the road. I don't know if they have one or two. But Cleveland is just, I guess Cleveland's right there with Milwaukee.
Yeah. They're 14-20 this season against teams currently with a winning record. So when I hear that, what was it? 25-22, 24.
So over 500, they're 19-14.
Yeah. Had I told you at the start of the season, though, hey, on March 11th, we're going to be talking about a Heat team that's in the middle of a 3-game losing skid, and they're the 8th seed battling for their lives in the play-in tournament, would you have been surprised?
No, I've kind of just not felt that they've been good this year. Like,
But I'm saying at the start of the season,
stats, by the way, are wrong. I've read off clutch points. The math's not mathing. So ignore all those numbers. They don't ignore them, because it's something's not working.
They're definitely,
clutch points led me astray.
They're definitely 14-20 this season, because I did the prep yesterday after the game.
Alex.
They're 14-20 this season in games against teams currently with a winning record. And you're right, they are 1-10 against the NBA's top five teams record-wise, with that one lone win being the improbable dismantling of the Bucks, and then beating the Sixers the night before, right before the NBA All-Star break.
And that doesn't count, because, like, Philly had no Embiid for both those games.
Yeah, but he had no Jimmy in that game. I think they had no Rozier in that game also.
Well, the Christmas game, for sure, they had nobody. Not nobody, but they didn't have Embiid, and I think Miami didn't have Jimmy also that game.
Yeah.
Rozier wasn't here yet. Kyle got hurt that game, I remember. Yeah, man. It's just, shout out to Legends Commissioner. Shout out for the tier one sub. 25 months. Look at that. You've been here a minute.
Wow.
They just don't, Alex, they don't inspire confidence in me. And I've been kind of like, I watch them and kind of go, bleh. Everybody tells me that they're better than they were last year. They're deeper. I got to be honest, man. I don't really see it. I think that their rotation has a lot more question marks. I think they play too many Ant defenders. They play Rozier, Ant defender. They play Tyler, Ant defender. They play Duncan, Kevin Love, both Ant defenders. It's just too many guys. When it used to be like you know, you just in the last playoff run, they only played really one or one and a half Ant defenders because Kevin Love was like not always on the court. They would just go super, super small. And it's just become like a different vibe. They have too many holes on defense. Bam is, I don't know what the hell's going on with him. I don't know if he's breaking down, if he's just on empty, if he's playing injured, if he's, there's so many things that could be at the cause of what's going on, but like, bro, he looks awful.
He doesn't look good. And to me, the most concerning part isn't that he's missing jumpers, because I think part of that is, hey, he is being defended differently. He's seeing different coverages, right, G? Like, yeah. Remember when he put that spin move on John Collins last week and he faked right, spun back over his left shoulder, and he left John Collins in the dust, and it was a beautiful finish. After the game, he said something to me that really stood out, which was his response to how, you know, why'd that move work? Where'd that move come from? He said, that's the respect of me constantly going fade away over my right shoulder. So if Bam's acknowledging, hey, teams know where I like to go when I work out of the post. I mean, there's got to be a bunch of film on him, right? And I think over the past two games prior to the loss yesterday, you're seeing that teams are realizing if we can keep Bam Adebayo from having a big scoring night for Miami and make him be inefficient, the Heat are going to struggle to score down low. The Heat are going to struggle to be a good team at the rim. They can pack the paint. They can force Jimmy Butler to try to have to pass the ball more to his teammates and force these other guys to knock down shots. And when you're missing Tyler Hero, who can take over spurts of the game, you're in a situation where you're relying on Duncan Robinson, Terry Rozier. You're relying on Caleb Martin, Jaime Jaquez Jr. to score a lot of points and to be a well-balanced scoring effort from everybody not named Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. And to me, that's not a good formula for the Miami Heat to win. You want those guys obviously contributing consistently, but you don't want to have to rely on them to carry you throughout the game. You want Jimmy and Bam being able to get to the free throw line, to score at the rim. This Heat team has to be able to get downhill, attack the basket, get to the free throw line, convert from the free throw line. That's been a big issue. And just look at these last three losses, G. They're, what, averaging 17 or 18 free throws in these three games. They've missed at least five or more. It was five versus Oklahoma City. It was six against Dallas, which they lost by six. And it was six last night again. The turnover issues yesterday were rough. But looking at the bigger picture, aside from these three losses, you mentioned the rotation, and I'm with you. There's a serious issue when it comes to the rotation overall right now, because we know the conversations of Duncan versus Hero are going to be there no matter what happens. And to me, it's not a question of could they have made it work with Rozier, Hero, Jimmy, whether it's Nico or Caleb, whatever, and Bam on the floor together, right? Like, could they have made it work as far as long-term success, as far as that being one of the best starting fives in the NBA? That's that. No matter if they were healthy for the past two, the last 2 months of the season, that was never going to be better than the Boston Celtics starting five. That wasn't going to be better than the Bucks starting five. It just wasn't, right? But could they have maximized those guys with enough playing time together? I do believe they could have.
That's not what it's about, though.
But to me, the issue becomes you don't have the time anymore. No. To make it work. Look how bad it looked.
You don't.
When they traded for Rozier and they tried to just make it work on the fly.
They're not a better team since that move. And that was supposed to, he was supposed to be the ingredient to fix it.
Yeah. And I mean, I would argue if they're a better team or not. And by the way,
this is not to slam the trade. They had to make the trade. I'm not saying that.
No, right.
Yeah,
right.
I'm not saying that. I don't want to get accused of defending somebody who's not here anymore.
I'm not a Kyle Lowry hater either.
I'm just saying that their problems are like so, like what you're saying, like they have so many issues. And I think they miss Gabe Vincent a lot. I think they mix Masters a lot.
Yeah, I see. I don't fall for any of that. To me, I'm not saying that those guys weren't important. And obviously in the playoff run last year, they were important. But if you go back and look at the numbers during that playoff run, there were a lot of games where, yes, Gabe Vincent hit big shots.
It's not the offense, Alex. It's the defense, because okay. I think that this team has to like win with defense. I just think that there's no available player that they can add that's going to fix the offense. It's like going to be, it's diminishing returns almost. And it's like, you're going to get an offensive player that's going to be worse here because of the way that teams defend them, because of their spacing issues and their issues. And they just have problems because they play in a phone booth. They have too many guys that aren't good shooters or that are okay shooters.
But you would agree that their playing style seems more fit for a playoff type series rather than regular season basketball, where for example, last night, you know, they're playing a Wizards team. The Wizards are trash. We know that. But the Wizards still have a lot of guys who can hit threes if they get hot, right? So the Heat get caught in this situation where they're playing an up-tempo style of game. Bam called it pickup basketball, or Jimmy called it pickup basketball yesterday. They're just running up and down the floor, not even at times going through their sets, and they're just taking quick shots. That situation won't happen in the playoffs, in my opinion. I mean, the game's going to slow down, and they're going to be forced to go at the basket, and they're going to be forced to have the ball in Jimmy Butler's hands, who's going to play 38 to 42 minutes per game. The same goes for Bam Adebayo. So to me, when I look at some of, you know, the deeper issues that are plaguing them in the regular season right now, I also see it as, well, when they get to the playoffs, if they can avoid a Boston in the first round or a Milwaukee in the first round, and they can get, whether it's Cleveland or whether it's New York or Orlando, if they can get one of those teams, their offense is much better situated in a slower type of game, slower type of pace, where, yeah, I mean, these guys have to be physical. They have to lay their body on the line. And by Jimmy and Bam constantly being in the paint, those opportunities open up on the edges. And we saw that last year, man. We saw that, which is why it led to, you know, Duncan being revitalized in the playoffs. It led to Gabe Vincent shooting the lights out. Max Strus, other than his 0-for-11 performance in game one of the finals, like, being revitalized in the playoffs.
Did he go 0-for-11?
I think he went 0-for-11 in game
That's
one.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't remember, maybe it was game three. Yeah, it was bad.
He wasn't good in the finals. I remember that, but geez.
Yeah, nobody shot well in the finals for the Miami Heat. But as just going back to kind of finish out my point, I really believe that had Hero been healthy, this starting five would have been healthy. I'm not telling you that they're going on another NBA Finals run. I'm not telling you that, you know, it was the answer long term. I genuinely believe that Spo would have been able to figure out some sort of way to make it look better than what it's going to look like. Because when Hero
can
back
defend enough
and healthy,
that's my thing with that lineup.
Probably not. But it doesn't mean that you have to ride that lineup for 48 minutes, right? Like, you can still bring in Caleb Martin. You can still bring in Haywood Highsmith. You can still, you know, implement the zone that we saw a ton of during that stretch where they won, 11 of 13, 11 of 14 games. There's so many things Spo can do throughout a playoff series. Man, they weren't better than the Bucks last year. They weren't better than the Celtics last year, but they had a better coach, and they figured out a way
to
maximize themselves, and they had the best player in the series. And I still think they're capable of that. I think Jaime is better off the bench than pretty much anybody outside of Caleb Martin last season that the Heat had. Okay. You could argue Duncan Robinson as well. Duncan's playing better this season. I think Haywood Highsmith has taken a step up, not on the offensive end, but on the defensive end. I just think he's a better player overall right now. And the big question is, are Bam and Jimmy going to be healthy when that time comes, to me? And if they are, I give this team a chance pretty much against anybody in a 7-game series.
I agree with you that I think their offense is just going to work better in the playoffs because it's going to force Jimmy to have the ball more and have a little bit more urgency. I worry about them defensively because they're just going to be able, they're going to have to play too many guys that are going to get hunted. I think their saving grace is that, like, Tatum doesn't, like, go find you and put you in the blender. Giannis doesn't really do that. Dame will, which might be a problem, but I think that's more concerning with bigs or whatever. They might get by. I also don't know what Jimmy's highest ceiling is going to look like this season.
Right.
He's good. It's not, you know, before Jimmy's friends start getting mad on Twitter, they're getting mad at these small British kids making fucking Twitter threads. It's ridiculous. But it's not saying that he's not that guy anymore. But, like, if he was Michael Jordan last season, bro, if he's just Charles Barkley, that might not be enough. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And like, yeah, if they lose game five to Milwaukee, Milwaukee could win the series. You know what I mean? It's like, it was close, bro. And yeah, they, you know, they can't to wish upon miracles and expect for them to happen over and over, I think is a little bit foolish. I like their process more last season. I think this season, their offense looks better. I just think last season, guys were getting better shots. I think the corners were more filled for them last season. Gabe and Max missed a ton of looks. I think this season, it's a lot more disorganized. I think a lot of that is the lineup continuity that is all over the place. Miami takes the second most mid-range shots, and they're just like okay at them. They're like 15th or 14th in the league at mid-range jumpers, and they take so many of them.
But, Bam, but part of that is Bam right now struggling. I mean, he can't hit a mid-range shot.
No, Bam's been like so the short jumper 5 to 9 feet, he's at 56% since the All-Star break.
But he's shooting 49% of shots in the paint that aren't in the restricted area. I mean, that's not like great efficiency inside the paint, you know?
He's not even that good at the rim. He's shooting 65% at the rim this season, which is you know, it's not, he shot that last year too. It's just a little concerning how his finishing isn't great. Jimmy's finishing, and I've harped on this all season, is just bad, bro. He's at 58%. It's the lowest mark of his career since his rookie year. There's a lot of things about them. Jimmy doesn't defend with the same ferocity. Now, it's picked up a ton for him, but Jimmy's not like changing games on defense like the way he used to. And again, he is going to turn it up.
Right.
And we're going to get to a point that he's going to be the unquestionably one of the two best players on the floor in a series, but he has to get to that highest level. And I just question, listen, I question Tyler surviving on defense. I question Rozier surviving, Duncan, you know, Jovic, all these guys that, you know, Jovic might not even be in the rotation. He's a starter right now. He might not be in a playoff rotation if when rubber hits the road, Eric Spoelstra starts Caleb Martin, which is what I ultimately expect to be the counter solution to whenever they play a series. I think Jovic could get time against a bigger team like Milwaukee and just kind of throw size early. Or he might just go Kevin Love off the rip and just play two bigs the whole series. That wouldn't surprise me either.
He did it last year. He did it last year at times where he just started Kevin Love and then he made the switch to Caleb. He went back to Kevin Love for a couple games in the finals as well.
They don't inspire a ton of confidence in me because I don't see, when I look at their offense, I don't see like how this gets better in the playoffs by hot shooting because I don't like the looks that they're getting. They're under duress. I think they use too much clock. I think that they should play faster. They don't play faster. They play too slow. I think a lot of these guys are just bad free throw shooters, it's funny because they started the year like as the best free throw shooting team. And now I wonder if it's just they're getting law of averaged. And we're here, like they're losing to Washington. They have no urgency, and I know they're a switch team, right? Like they're gonna flip a switch, they're gonna be better. They haven't played a ton of switch defense, also, which kind of I wonder, are they just gonna run the drop the whole playoff series? If so, I think a team like Milwaukee becomes very interesting because they have guys that are pull up artists like Middleton, like Lillard. You know, those guys are going to, you know, should you drop against those guys? You know, do you lose an advantage? You know, I don't know. Against Boston, that's always been their bread and butter. You know, are you going to go back to that? Because when they went to that earlier in the season, Alex, they looked like they were not comfortable running it anymore. And I have some questions and I don't feel good about them. And I haven't felt good about them all season. And granted, I didn't feel great about them last season, but I saw the vision at times.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My doubt is wavering.
So here's what I'll say. First of all, as far as you seeing the vision for them last season, I would argue against that. And here's why. You brought me on at around the same time last year. And I remember this because
our disaster correspondent.
Yes, I remember this. Well, it was kind of like a state of the heat. Like, what's the pulse of the fan base? I'm at all the home games. I'm doing local radio every day in Miami. So
what's the fan vibe?
Right. And you brought me on. And this was, remember, Kyle Lowry missed a ton of time last season. Not to bring it back to Lowry, but here's why I remember. Kyle Lowry missed a ton of time last season. And after the All-Star reasons. Break, yeah. Right, he came back. And I remember having this conversation where, you know, trying to open it up, because so much of what Miami Heat beat and a lot of the podcasts, which, by the way, I'm huge fans of, right? Like, obviously, I love you guys. But I do consume a lot of, you know, Five Reasons and all that stuff that you guys are friends with. I feel like a lot of the talking points and a lot of the, I guess what I call like what's on the agenda for every pod comes from Heat Twitter and what, you know, some random account on Twitter is saying and what the conversation is on Heat Twitter every day. And I'm not saying that that's not important. I'm not trying to diminish the importance of fans on social media. But I remember telling you last year, you would have thought that in Kyle Lowry's first home game back last season, after all that time off from personal reasons, when he checked into the game off the bench, you would have thought, based on the animosity towards Lowry on Heat Twitter, you would have thought this dude was going to get booed, right? Just based on the way people were talking about Lowry. And what ended up happening, he got a standing ovation from the crowd. Not like a Dwayne Wade standing ovation.
I organized
but
it,
he
by
was,
the way.
He was cheered. As he came on the court, Mike B announced, Kyle, welcome back, Kyle Lowry. He comes on the court, big time applause. And I was surprised. And I remember having this that conversation followed by, what changes do the Heat need to make in the offseason? Because clearly this season is done. So we had that conversation last year.
We did.
What changes do they need to do? And I listened to most of your podcasts, and at least 5 to 10 minutes of each pod and each post game show is dedicated to X player needs to be approached by Riley, you know, and so I would disagree. I'd push back on what you're saying that you saw the vision last year, because I don't think anybody saw the vision. We were in the exact same situation last year, a Heat team fighting for their lives, underachieving in the regular season. And nobody thought Jimmy Butler, because of the way he played for most of the regular season, the amount of games he missed in the regular season, could turn it on to the level that he did. Is that a good situation to be in again this year? No. You are hoping and you are banking on the fact that Jimmy Butler will raise his level to be the best player in any series that the Heat play. And if he's not that, this Heat team is not going to have a chance to get to the past the first or the second or the third round back to the NBA Finals. And yes, that's not a good situation to be in. But, I mean, that's just our reality, right? When you don't land Damian Lillard, you realize this roster is not as talented as some of the other rosters in the East that got better. So we knew this coming into the season. So that's why I don't sit here today on a 3-game losing skid, perhaps could be a 4-game losing skid. I have the guts, but it could be a 4-game losing skid at the most important time of the season where this cannot happen, a loss to the Wizards, and say, yeah, this team is done. This team has no opportunity, because they set that precedent last year that, hey, there is a formula to get back to winning basketball in the postseason. The question is, can they do it? And I'm with you. I have a lot of questions about it as well. The fact that Bam is struggling the way he's struggling right now, you're not winning any series against anybody. I don't care who you play, right? If they get up to the 4 or the 5 seed somehow, you're not winning any series in the playoffs if Bam Adebayo is not playing elite on both ends of the floor. I have some questions about his defense over the past couple games as well. He got blown by yesterday by Kuzma, and there was no help on the weak side or on the backside, but Bam Adebayo getting blown by on the perimeter, G, is more probably more concerning to me than him missing a couple jumpers.
He looks cooked, bro. He looks tired.
He looks tired. He looks tired. And I wonder, you know, if he's playing through some sort of injury. I don't know. But you need those two guys playing at the highest level. And then the question becomes, you know, what are those contributions from everybody else going to look like? I agree with you as far as Caleb Martin getting back in that starting rotation. I expect that to be the case. But I still wouldn't diminish the roles that Jaime Jaquez Jr. can play in a playoff series. I think this dude is built for that kind of basketball. I know he doesn't have that experience per se, but I think he's built for this kind of series or for that kind of basketball. I think Caleb loves that type of competition. And I think, you know, as limited at times the Heat offense has looked since the Rozier trade, I think there are reasons to be hopeful that there's going to be stretches where Rozier can take over and get those relief points,
yeah,
the mid-range jumper going, which is something the Heat need, right? They can't go 4 or 5 minutes in a playoff series without scoring the basketball. So and the free throw attempts right now are down. I don't expect that to be the case if Jimmy Butler and Bam are healthy come playoff time. And if the three-point shooting can be better, and you hope with Hero's return that's the case, like there's a path here, G. There is a path. Because we saw it last season.
I think the path is that the East is bad. I think that, like, I look at the Knicks and I'm like, the Knicks are just kind of like whatever. I know that people are scared of them, and I know that once Ananobi comes back, they're going to be a lot better. I'm just not there with Brunson, and I'm not there.
But the same reason I have my trepidations with this Heat roster, this Heat starting five, where there just hasn't been enough time on the floor. I know it's kind of a cliche to say, but to like build those habits and to develop continuity. That chemistry and continuity, yeah, on the floor. I know we kind of just brush that off a lot as like sports cliches, things that the players say and the coaches say in the press conferences, but there is some validity to that. Is there not?
Yeah,
where
no,
you,
sure.
you need playing time on the floor right now. The Knicks don't have it. And you're expecting Julius Randle to come back from a major injury. Jay Rich had the exact
that's
same
actually,
injury
that's,
and
I think
had that, to have surgery.
I think that helps him.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
I'm not even, that's not even like me being a hater. I have my feelings.
Maybe.
So, and I want to clarify, last season, you're right in everything that you said. You're 100% right. And last season, I very famously, after they lost to Dallas in Dallas, I came on our airwaves and I said, season over.
Yeah.
Serious team. You win that. You're playing well. You have a little bit of momentum. You go into an MVP candidate's building and you're supposed to win that game because they were like the same record as you. They were peers in terms of your record. You go in there and you win that game when you're on a roll where you need to build that. And they got their ass kicked on ESPN. It was that Dallas was dancing on. I came on and I was like, this season is over. Unserious team. So I'm owning. I was so wrong. But what I meant was, and we talked about this a lot last year. You look at any shot quality metric, they're like near the top of the league, right? They're just missing,
yeah,
out of the corner. Oh, and good shooters. Because we know that Max is a good shooter. We know Gabe's a good shooter. We know Duncan's a good shooter. We know that these guys are good shooters. It's funny because Caleb was like one of the better shooters that they had last season. And I don't think he's a great shooter. So this season, I do think they're getting a lot of the shooting production. I don't think they're getting I just don't think they're forcing as many rotations. I think that guys are totally okay with some of these guys taking threes. It is not bothering them because they are shutting off Miami's water at the rim. They are overhelping. They are overloading. And it's just, I mean, Oklahoma City did it, and they turned the water off on Miami's offense. And it's partly why they take so many mid-range jumpers. They just come off the screen. Alex, I talk about this all the time. I play Super Smash Bros. Melee competitively. And there's one player – his name is Fiction Shepherd Lima. And he says a lot. He goes, when you play the best melee, you never want the game to end. Like you never want the actual like set, like game that you're playing with somebody else to end. And when you're playing bad, you try to end the game as fast as possible. And I think Miami at times tries to end possessions as fast as possible. Like, I'm off the screen. Fuck it. I'm pulling up. I don't know if we're going to get a better look than this, right? And I think it's like when you're a team that is humming and comfortable on offense, you're cutting, you're moving, you're flashing. You know, you want the possession to go on forever because you're fucking schmoving. And they don't play that way ever. And I don't know. I'm just kind of like uninspired by everything that they do. You're not wrong. The East, I mean, I'm not scared of Milwaukee. I'm scared of Boston, kind of, because they're really good. And I wonder how they're going to be able to overcome that. But at the end of the day, we've seen them beat them. You know, Boston has their own problems. They take way too many mid-range jumpers. Tatum does not go to the basket enough. Jaylen Brown has not really addressed some of the issues that we have seen in the past. I do wonder if Miami has the defenders to bother him because, you know, throwing Lowry and Vincent to kind of hound his ball handling, that's gone because, you know, Rozier and Hero aren't going to do that. So, you know, you lose some of that. But
but you don't expect those guys to be on. Like, I don't. I wouldn't expect Hero.
No, but I'm just saying that, like, the strategy was we're going to go a little smaller on Brown. We're going to put more size elsewhere on the floor, and we're going to bother his dribble. And it worked. It was a really effective strategy, and they really took him out of his game.
But I think also when you look back at that series, I apologize. I mean, I mean, he also just missed a lot of shots. Like, this dude was in his own head. He missed a lot of shots he normally makes.
They put him out of his head. Because when you're not in a rhythm, you can't dribble. Now you're like, okay, well, this is the only way I can make an impact is by hitting this shot. Now, you know, there is pressure added onto you that wasn't there before because you got taken out of your game. They're disrespecting me. They're not guarding me because they weren't guarding him, right? And that, you know, and if I line drive this, you know, off the corner, off that second swing, and I think the most success they had in that series, Miami was doubling Tatum. They put Horford at the wing early in the offense. So Horford would screen and pop to the wing, not to shoot, but as a release valve because Miami was sending two at Tatum to kind of give Jason that easy pass. Because Miami was execution testing Jason Tatum. Be like, I want to see you beat this double with your passing. And credit to second row Joe, put Horford and gave him that little outlet. And then that was a swing to Jaylen in the corner, who was able to kind of drive baseline. Miami did adjust. They kind of sent early help off the strong side of the ball to kind of meet Jaylen and kind of, you know, disrupt that movement. And they stopped doubling Tatum as well. They did it on occasion. So totally agree with you. That's kind of where I am with them though. And I like your perspective because I think sometimes, Alex, I think a lot of us here at Heat Beat, we have a little bit of hive mind right now. We just talk to each other too much. We're in a group chat. We talk all day. You see us. And I think it's nice to have somebody you're not as online as we are. You touch grass, you know, you're on the radio, you're in the building. And I think it helps that you're just not in like the molasses of this, I don't know what to call it, like this just Twitter basketball community.
And by the way, I would like to add, since you reminisced about saying it's a wrap after the Maverick, shout out to Af, after the Dallas game, here's where I was at last year. I don't know if I ever told you this. So obviously I work all the games, right? And when the Heat lost the play-in tournament to the play-in tournament game to Atlanta, right? They lost that play-in tournament game to Atlanta. That night, I went home and with my girlfriend, who's now my fiance, booked a 8-day vacation to Mexico. We were going to go to Mexico City.
You're the goat.
And I said, I booked it for the first week of June. I said, Heat, even if they beat the Bulls, are going to play the Bucks in the first round. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't lack of trust in the Heat, but it was just like, this doesn't happen in the NBA. The best regular season team record-wise with Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to lose to an 8 seed. Like, it just doesn't – it's not about the Heat. That just doesn't happen. Well, guess what? I ended up canceling my vacation. Luckily, I paid for whatever it's called, like the security. Flight insurance.
Brother, me too. I had a trip to the Cape planned. We rented the beach house and everything, and then I'm like, after game three of Boston, I was like, guys.
Yeah, no, I literally had to, after we went up 2-0 against Boston, I had to call and start canceling everything and hope that I get my money back.
Fiance must have been pissed, bro.
Oh my God, man.
Bro, she must have been the world's biggest Boston fan.
Well, the best part is that we booked it with two other friends who are very close friends of mine who I grew up with. Like, I've known them since I was 5 years old, and it's a guy and a girl, but they're not a couple. So this was just supposed to be like a friend's trip. But we backed out. Me and my fiance backed out. So now it's like another group of friends going, a guy and a girl who aren't a couple together, to Mexico City by themselves for 8 days. Because they just
congrats
booked
the
trip. Right. It was hilarious.
Are they also engaged now?
They're not. They're not engaged. Yeah. So that's where I was at last year. So here's where I'm at this year. I'm not booking shit. All right. I'm not booking anything because
You have to. We both have to.
As unlikely. So
no, we have
it's
to.
Like it's the reverse curse.
Yeah, no, we have to. We have a job to do, Alex. And if not Mexico City, Guatemala, here's a hot travel destination
yes,
right now.
I'm down. You're 100% right. Whatever it takes.
I was going to do the Cape. I'll do the fucking Hamptons this year. I'll figure some Northeast vacation out, and
don't
you do
Hamptons,
some Central
bro.
American.
Don't go to the Hamptons. Man.
I gotta go somewhere.
Trash.
I gotta.
Hamptons are so overrated.
I've never been. Where do I go?
My sister lives in Long Island, so I go to the Poconos or something.
The Poconos. I'm going to the Poconos. You tell your fiance, babe, we're going to Guatemala. I hear Guatemala is beautiful.
It is. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be amazing.
It is like the travel place. Yeah, Angie, that's the thing. Yeah, it's a new Tulum.
Yeah, it's super trendy right now. But that's where I'm at, man. Like I realize all the issues standing in the Heat's way, but I feel better about this team this season going into the playoff. And also,
How much of that is Haim is good?
Part of it, probably. Honestly, I mean, it probably has a bit to do with it. But
does
I
it
also
concern
think,
you
had,
that he's taking a little bit of a step back?
Well, he was injured. Jaime was injured.
Yeah.
And since that injury, I think he's been playing much better. But AG, had you and I done this pod 1 week ago, we'd be having very different conversations. I really believe that.
That this win streak didn't do anything for me. Because there haven't been any team of consequence. And that has been my thing this whole time. I was like, I don't care what you do to Sacramento. I don't care what you do to fucking Chicago and Brooklyn and Portland and San Antonio and Indiana and Utah. I just don't care. I want to see you do it. At least play well. You know what I mean? Like show, because you know, and at the end of the day, like that's not even good enough because we've done the moral victory show. I thought they played Oklahoma City pretty good. You know what I mean? I thought they played Boston pretty good, you know, without Jimmy, you know, late in that game, all that stuff. I need to see them. Chats like New Orleans is pretty good, I guess.
And, nah, yeah, I'm with you. I wasn't like extremely impressed by that victory.
Impress me, bro. Do it against somebody that fucking matters.
And maybe that's one of the more concerning issues for me, is that when they have played well, they haven't been able to close out games against those good teams. And that's something that last season this Heat team was at least doing. They were playing.
Those teams have closers, bro.
Right. They were doing a stupid amount of. They were playing a stupid amount of clutch games. So maybe their averages weren't great. But the Heat this season, I mean, just look at the last three games. They get into a situation where they're up 15. All right, you blow the lead. I don't care about blowing 15-point leads in the NBA in the first half anymore. I'm not as upset about it as a lot of other people are. But to me, when it's a.
Especially on the road.
It's a 5-point game or a 3-point game or a 1-point game, or it's tied with 6 minutes to go, and you haven't been able to win those games against good teams. That is probably a definite red flag for Miami.
Alex, I'm going to tell you something that I haven't told anybody publicly yet. For the first time in my life, I watched them play that game, and it was, I think they were down 10. I don't remember how much time was left. I didn't care if they came back and won.
Yeah, 2 minutes and 5 seconds, down 10.
You're fucking savant.
I remember.
I remember thinking, I'm like, you know what? If they trade Jimmy, I think I'm okay with it at this point.
No,
because I that. And that's for the first time. I swear to God, and I
you don't believe that. You don't believe that
because I just don't.
That's stupid. That's stupid.
I don't know. I don't know if they can do it again. And I mean, I'd be mad because I want to go down. For the record, I want to go down with the ship. But I think it's over. I personally think it's over. I think we're done.
Yeah. I mean,
Chad says I need 60 minutes of yoga stat.
Yeah. Maybe. You can feel that way, brother. But, you know, they win one more playoff series in a month from now. And your boy, Jimmy Butler, has another 50-point game. Like, you're just not going to feel that way. This dude's on the Mount Rushmore of Heat players, bro. He's a top four Heat player of all time.
Don't let them hear you. They'll get mad.
He's a top four Heat player of all time. What are you doing?
And he's not four.
I mean, you want to throw that away because of regular season games?
Wait, is he
when
four?
They proved to you last year? I mean, D-Wade won. UD's probably there. Zoe.
LeBron. No, Zoe's not. Jimmy over Zoe.
Oh, for sure. I mean, to me, he's a top four Heat player.
So it's really the question if you're putting Jimmy over Udonis.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be.
Me neither.
Mr.
But
UD,
he's there.
Mr. UD, I didn't say that. But yeah.
Yeah, I just think you're allowing regular season basketball right now.
I am.
It's sloppy regular season basketball. It's not fun. Losing the Wizards sucks. Like, it's frustrating as hell. I'm with you, man. I'm there 100% with you.
It's killing me inside.
And it's a grind. It's a grind for what we do, right?
Help me.
Have to cover this team. Have to watch every single minute of every single game, and there aren't many exhilarating moments. But the idea that because of this season, you're like, I'd be fine with them trading Jimmy Butler, which, by the way, they're not going to do.
They're never going to do that.
They're just not going to do it.
They're never.
You're prisoner of the moment right now, and you're letting that cloud your vision because this dude is a Heat lifer, bro. He's a Heat lifer.
People in chat are giving me shit.
We had nothing, bro. We had nothing after Dwayne Wade retired. Nothing. We had Dion Waiters.
Is Justice Winslow nothing to you?
You had nothing after D Wade retired. And they turned Hassan Whiteside and Dion Waiters into Jimmy Butler. And he's giving you the best 4-year stretch that none of us could have ever imagined.
No.
After Chris Bosh's medical situation forced him to retire.
Brian and I said at the time that trading for Jimmy Butler was stupid because you can't win a title with Jimmy Butler. You need a player with Jimmy Butler that's better than him. We were very wrong. Shmita Smolnik in chat also says Solana's hairline is eroding faster than Sunny Isles.
My hair, bro, from a year ago.
You look good. You look great. Don't let them say that to you.
No. My go look at our pod from last year. I had a perfect hairline, bro. I could have gone with the straight fade.
Pablo, clip this and then edit. Go find the other one.
My hairline. I'm Jewish, but I'm secular. I mean, I'm gonna have to start rocking a yarmulke just because I've got the Manu Ginobili going on back here. Like, it's crazy what 1 year will do to somebody. I'm not even 30 yet, bro.
I'm losing my hair. I've got my hair thinning.
I look like I'm 44 top. Years old. Yeah, man.
It's bad, bro. I'm very self-conscious about this. It's so bad, Alex, that somebody took a picture from me, like, and it's from the back. I edited hair in. I went and I got the clone stamp tool.
That,
no,
don't
I had to. I'll text you. It was bad. I'll text you both pictures. It was bad. It was bad. Well, maybe, and I was like,
maybe because like I'm tied down, you know. So maybe if I was
I'm out
single
in the world
and,
fighting for
right,
my life.
If I was single, maybe I would care more about that. But I'm so like dejected. From a peer, like, whatever, man, you know, I'm losing my hair. It is what it is. Hey, Smith and Smolnik, settle down during Tobin and Leroy. All right.
Chat,
settle down.
I get Leroy. Chat saying it's because I wear hats. I only wear hats on stream because my hair was bad.
But remember I had the man bun phase.
I love the man bun phase. That was my favorite. You look the best. I think that's when you first started dating your fiance, right?
Yeah. Total.
Yeah. That's how you got her.
I had the man bun, but you're literally just with the man bun. You're just slicking your hair back, gelling the shit out of it all the way back. So I was constantly tugging on it.
Is that why?
So that's why now. I mean, look.
Worth it, though. You look so good. I want to make fun of you and be like, oh, but like, I can't even do that. You and your fiance, probably top five most aesthetic couples I've ever seen. It's remarkable. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's the first time we talked since your congratulations on your engagement.
Thank you.
Do you know that you got engaged at the place that I got my heart broken? At that exact place.
You got your heart broken in Florence?
Yes, in Florence. I flew to Italy because I was in love with somebody that I knew, and we went together there. And that was the place that I realized, oh no, I have made a horrible mistake. And it was there, and I'll never forget. It was a beautiful sunset. It was a beautiful Tuscan sunset, and I was like, oh, dear Lord. And then your greatest love triumph comes at the pits of my life.
Had I known that, I would have I would have let you know what was going on. Like, don't look at my Instagram for the next.
It was so funny. I sent it to all my friends, and they were dying laughing. They said, This is quite literally the funniest place that somebody can get engaged and you see. It is like, I can't think of a fictitious place that's funnier.
Well, I wish I could say I'm sorry, but I'm not.
No, congratulations. That was fucking funny.
I feel like I pulled a baller move doing it. Overlooking Florence. So
I've been waiting for you to do it forever. I think I stopped asking you at some point. I was like, every time you book a trip, I'd be like, so this is the time? You're like, no, not yet. The one time I didn't ask.
Yeah.
We're so back, baby. Congrats, man. I love you. Happy for your success and personally.
Thank you very much. People probably don't know. Like, I've known you now, 12 years? It's crazy.
It's been a long time. 10 years? A long time.
I do want to say one thing. No matter how this season ends, I want to come back on Heat Beat during the summer. And I just want to talk about, like, classic Heat moments.
Oh, let's do just, that, bro.
Just like Jamal McGlure, like what we did when I used to come on prior, right, during our FIU Sports Talk Live run. That's what I want to do. I just want to talk Heat moments.
Let's do it. Let's fucking do it. Let's get the gang back together. Let's get some old heads and let's have some fucking fun. Right. After there's a parade, because we're gonna be covering the team into June, even though you and I are both gonna book vacations. Guatemala. Where am I going again?
The Poconos.
I gotta Google where that is. My geography is not very good. Alex, thank you so much for giving us. I told you 35 minutes. I kept you 50. I love you, brother. Where can people find you? Plug some of your stuff. Where can they listen to you? The stuff you produce and everything.
Yeah. So I work every day 2 to 6 with Hawk and Crowder. You will not get any in-depth sports knowledge. If you want to get dumber, but you want to laugh, Hawk and Crowder every day, 2 to 6 p.m. But I do work every single Heat game. If you're in the car driving to the game and you're not listening to the pre or post game show because your internet's not working and you can't listen to Miami Heat Beat, then you can listen to me on the radio. Every Sunday night at 11:35, I'm on CBS4 Sports Desk with Mike Cuno, Samantha Rivera, talking about the Miami Heat as well.
PM or AM?
TV. PM every Sunday night. I know it's late, but we're all lame and stay up and play video games.
I didn't know the news ran that late.
Yeah, like every local news station in Miami, Local 10, WSVN 7, Channel 6, NBC, and CBS4 all have their like late night Sunday sports wrap-up show. And CBS4's is Sports Desk. And you should watch that one because I'm on.
Competing with Will Manso?
Yes, they have one at the exact same time.
Support Alex, bro. Let's fucking Barry Manso, baby.
Yes. I'm getting Barry Manso and Barry Manso and Barry Clay Ferreiro on Local 10.
Barry and Clay?
I'm trying to say Burry.
Oh, I thought they had Barry Jackson.
Not Barry. No. I'm not taking shots at Barry.
That's a ringer, bro.
I'm taking shots at Clay Ferreiro and Will Manso. I love those guys. I'm just joking. But watch me and Mike Cuno and Samantha Rivera and Trish instead on CBS4.
Yeah. Well, support Alex on CBS4. If you don't know, that's Channel 4 for you kids.
Or don't. Yeah. Nobody watching right now watches TV.
They all watch the Dolphins on YouTube TV.
It's crazy, man.
Woof. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dolphins fans. I'm a Jax fan. Yikes. So, cool.
The Heat are very lucky that Chris Greer fumbled the bag today, because if not, we'd be ripping.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. Pat Riley's like, can always count on them, baby. Can always count on them. Alex, love, appreciate you, man. Thank you for joining us. Chat, schedule for the week. Got you post game. Tomorrow, I'm off. Load management. We got Heat coverage for the game against Denver. Thursday, I'm going to yoga because Chat says I need to be more positive. And then maybe we'll be with you for Heat Pistons. That is a TBD. I will not be here, but maybe Siobhan, Tiff, and Pablo will be here. That is a TBD. But really, so what you got for us next week is this week is just Wednesday. So that's all I got for you. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate Alex. And we'll see you in 2 days.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.